Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also text to give by texting the letters LK and the number 638 to the telephone number 41444. And that's LK638 to the number 41444. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
Faith and prayer. I ask that you turn with me now to a passage of scripture in the book of James. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And in that, there's a portion of scripture that I'm going to focus on today, which will be found in part B of verse 16. But James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And the word of the Lord reads, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Can anybody just tell me, what did they notice throughout that passage of scripture?
Prayer.
And I want to focus on verse 16, part B, where it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." For a subject today, I will entitle this message, "When the Righteous Pray." When the righteous pray. this church, our church, the Church of God in Christ, was founded by Bishop C.H. Mason. And Bishop C.H. Mason, from my studies and from what I've been told by those who were close with him and were around him, was a praying man. Yes. Was a man who basically prayed continuously. Every time you saw him, they said he looked like he was praying. But not only was he just praying, but he was praying in the Spirit.
Us tonight, we receive and enjoy. We look to thee for help tonight.
Here's a sample of Bishop C.H. Mason.
Your word makes and makes a way for us. Woman, you're healed tonight. Oh, woman, Jesus healed you. Oh, God. Woman, you're healed. Blood prevailed. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Look on in pity tonight. Jesus, renew the spirits of thy children tonight. Jesus, comfort before this here. Jesus, implore these tonight. My soul look to you. My will serve you. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Yes, Lord. 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 Wonderful Jesus. Yes, Lord. We'll receive and now enjoy thinking on the goodness and greatness of you tonight. My God, help this woman. Help her, Lord. Help her. How you lift up your hands, you afflicted and you afflicted. Very. Thank God. Lift your hands up. Lift them up, you afflicted one. That are in the room tonight. Lift your hands up, you afflicted one. Christ binds you. The word gives life tonight. The wonders are shown to us. You hear a mouth. Make the seal. I give his soul. Thou strengthen the weak here. And renew the spirits of thy children everywhere. Yes. Heal us, O God, tonight. Let the ministry be blessed tonight. Let the will of God be done everywhere. Let men return from their evil ways. Let them cry out to the Father tonight. Thy will be done thy way here. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'm going to stop it there. If you could hear, and you know that is the theme of our church, Yes, Lord. I'm in the Yes, Lord anthem. But you could hear Bishop Mason praying at this meeting. This is one of the very few recordings. It's about 12 minutes. I went into the middle part of it because I wanted you all to hear that. And he was praying in the midst of a service. And I entitled this message, When the Righteous Pray. If you could just hear him and you feel the power of the Holy Spirit moving in that service, and people were healed. This verse of scripture, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. See, I was talking about prayer being coupled with faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you could hear, if you look at this scripture and listen to Bishop Mason praying, you will hear him praying in context of this scripture along with Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 13. Very simple man. He was very simple. And sometimes people didn't quite understand him, but he would say things like, "Woman, Jesus, heal you." And he was speaking powerful, and he would break off into tongues, as you heard there. But he was a praying man. And when he prayed not only out this church, the church of God in Christ, but people were healed, people were delivered, and we no longer pray like he prayed. Why is it that I want to talk about prayer today? There are two things we have as Christians that we rarely use, and sometimes when we use them haphazardly. And those two things are the Word of God, which is the Scripture, and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. And our model for that is Jesus, who used them both, and we should follow his example. Because what I want you to understand today, that prayer may not change your situation, but praying the will of God, when he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," will give you what you need to go through and get through. Yes, whatever it is that's going on in your life, it will allow you to do so, to get through. And that is prayer. And that brings up a question, and that question is, what keeps us from praying? Not only that, but on the flip side, what keeps us praying? You see, we tend to not pray when things are going well. When we have good times, we tend not to pray. We tend not to pray because life is filled with so many challenges and so many distractions and interruptions. Things like television, Netflix, movies, social media, all of those things. And for me, even sports and ESPN, I'm no different, because I'm talking about us. And God has placed this upon my heart to begin a praying ministry, for us to pray more so that we can begin to see things happen, so that we can begin to see those things that we desire of God come to pass. Because when the righteous pray, I'm not saying the sinner man or anybody or any of those who profess to be Christians, but when the righteous pray, things happen. Yes. Who could be more righteous than Jesus Christ? We need to follow his example, because he prayed at all times. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Meaning Jesus got away from all of the distractions, all of those things in everyday life, to get alone, to where he could be alone with God, be alone with his Father, into the wilderness and prayed. He got alone. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 through 13. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray." And this is Jesus again. But this is what I like. Not only did he went out into a mountain and pray, but it says, "and continued all night." And continued all night in prayer to God. It's hard to pray for 5 minutes, 15 minutes, let alone an hour. But here our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ continued all night in prayer to God. Then verse 13 says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." I want you to understand this passage of scripture. There were a lot of people that were following Jesus. There were a lot of people who were disciples at that time. But Jesus knew what was ahead, and he needed his 12. But rather than making a haphazard decision, rather than just by going with the wind and which way it blew, Jesus went into the mountain and prayed all night to God because he had what? A decision to make. A decision. He chose 12 men, and of those 12 men, those who remain would change the face of Christendom, would change the earth forever. We are still talking about those apostles. We are still talking about those 12, but they were not just chosen by random. Here we have our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ spent all night in prayer to make a decision. When the righteous pray, God answers, and he hears their cry and leads and guides. Well, you say, Pastor, well, will we always get what we want when we pray? 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What is this passage of scripture saying to us? That God's eyes, he sees and he looks upon and looks over the righteous, and he's attentive to their prayer. But does he answer the prayer? Yes, he does. But does he answer the prayer according to how we always want it to be answered? And the answer to that is no. Because what we must understand is going to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, where it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Where am I going here? This scripture is letting us know that if we are the righteous of God and the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us, there are times when we don't know what to pray or how to pray, but the Holy Spirit, who is God and knows the mind of God and the will of God, will pray for us what we ought to pray when we don't know what to pray. What is that saying? We must submit ourselves unto the will of God, and when we pray earnestly and fervently in the Spirit, we will never pray outside of the will of God. We will never pray outside of the will of God. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we will get everything that we want when we pray? No, it doesn't. It says that we will get those things that are in the will of God when we pray. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. The reason I gave for the homework assignment, Luke chapter 11. You see, the disciples were with Jesus and they saw him pray by those examples that I've shown you. And they came to him in chapter 11 of Luke. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, when he stopped praying, I'm emphasizing this praying thing because there's some things I desire of God, but I haven't prayed like I ought to. So this message is hitting home for me. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. And so what we're having here is that the disciples had seen Jesus praying. They had seen, they saw the effectiveness of his prayer, and they said, well, I want to learn how to do that. Yes. I want to be like him. When you see someone, when they're doing something very well, extremely well, if it's your mentor, but someone that's doing something that you desire and they're doing it well, one of the things is you go up to, can you teach me how to do that? Can you show me how to do that so that I can come up? Here the disciples saw Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because evidently they saw Jesus praying and they saw the results. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. And what we have done with this prayer is we have taken it as a prayer that we just say repetitiously. But this prayer was given to them as a model or a guide on how to pray. We will discuss that further in Bible study. But what I want to show you is it says, when ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want you to focus on this. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. I point that out because our example, Jesus, he prayed in his humanity. When he knew he was getting ready to go to the cross, he knew his purpose, but in his humanity, he understood what was about to happen. He understood the excruciating pain and agony that he was going to go through. And our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. When he got to the place, he was there. He looked at his disciples and he told them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Does that sound like Luke chapter 11 verses 1 through when you look at that prayer? And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. He talked to them and said, y'all pray that y'all fall not into temptation. But he went over there. So I'm going to say a stone's cast. He wasn't that far. He could still be seen. He went and kneeled down and prayed, saying, this is what I want you to understand, saying, Father, if thou be willing, see, here's that humanity crying out, remove this cup from me. He's saying, this thing about to get hot. I'm going to bleed. I'm going to be whipped. All this stuff is about to go on. Now, Jesus praying, Father, if you be willing, if you be willing, if this is in your will, if you can just let it go, let me not go through this thing. But then Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. See, prayer, it may not change your situation, but it may change you and give you strength. And here we see, and being in agony. See, that's why I want you to understand we're going to go back to that effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He knew what he was about to go through. He needed strength. He prayed so hard that night. He prayed, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. How many of us pray like that? for our loved ones? How many of us pray like that for our situations? How many of us pray like that and have a relationship with God? I want you to understand this, that there is a clinical term for what happened to Jesus. It's called hematohidrosis. It's stating that around the sweat glands, there are multiple blood vessels in a net-like form. Under the pressure of great stress, these vessels constrict. Then as the anxiety passes, the blood vessels dilate to the point of rupture. And so those vessels break and blood gets into the sweat. And you sweat drops of blood. And being in agony, meaning that it was a stressful situation, that he said, I have to pray. And he prayed so hard till he prayed till sweat came down like drops of blood. And when he rose up and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Jesus knew what lied ahead, and he was saying, in order to make it, in order to make it through, you have to pray. In order to make it through your situations, in order to get through life, sometimes you're going to have to pray. I admonish each of us to begin a lifestyle of prayer. Because as you can see, Jesus prayed that his situation changed, but it didn't change. What happened? He was given strength to go through. He was given strength to endure. What am I saying? If you need to make it through a certain situation, you need to get on your face and pray. Because when we look at the term effectual fervent prayer, see, effectual meaning it produces a desired result. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working, in its praying. It's a supplication consistent with the conformity of God, his inwardness. Fervent. I like this description. To boil. Earnestly. Hot. Burning. Or glowing. Having or displaying a passionate intensity. You're talking about somebody that's praying. They don't care what's going on around them. They're so deep and so connected in prayer that all they can hear is the voice of God. And when you pray like that, things happen. When you pray like that, God will move on your behalf. Why? Because when the righteous pray, things happen. You say, well, give me an example of when the righteous pray and some things happen. Well, if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 7. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus said the Lord. The prophet came into Hezekiah and said, here's what God sent me to tell you. He said, set thine house in order. For thou shalt die and not live. Oh, here comes the word of God through the prophet to the man Hezekiah and telling him, you about to die. You better go ahead and get all your things in order. Get your house together. Get your will together. Call your people. Get all your affairs in order. Because you about to die. But then Hezekiah, being a man of God, he turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. See this concept of prayer. And he said, when he prayed, he said, remember now, O Lord. Oh, see, when you call things to God's memory, things can happen. And that's why I say we need to learn the word of God. I told you earlier today that there are two things that Christians have that we rarely use or use haphazardly. And that is the word of God and prayer. And see here, Hezekiah saying, oh, Lord, I beseech thee. I'm praying to you now. I want you to remember how many of us can bring the word of God to him and say, Lord, now you said in your word. I want you to remember that you said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but my God delivereth them out of them all. I'm going through some things, but I'm praying. Now, God, I want you to hear, Hezekiah says, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. He's calling to mind. He's saying, God, I want you to understand, I've been a righteous man. You see, the title today is When the Righteous Pray. And see, righteousness is something that is acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. Basically, when you look at a righteous man, that man or woman is in right standing with God. Not saying that they are perfect, but they understand who they are and they understand God and they reverence him and they do according to his will. Hezekiah said, now remember, Lord, how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And then Hezekiah wept sore. But then verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. Oh, see, the man of God went before God and said, now, Lord, I know you said it's time for me to die. I know you said for me to get my affairs in order. But I'm not quite ready to go yet. And I'm calling to your mind, remember when I did so and so. Remember when I did all of those things. And so the Lord said, I hear my servant down there praying. And so he said, Isaiah, come here for a minute. I want you to go back and I want you to tell Hezekiah this. He said, Isaiah, go and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. You see, when the righteous pray, I have seen thy tears. See, God hears you crying out to him. God sees you crying late in the midnight hour. He understands what you're going through right now. All he's saying is just come unto me and pray an effectual, fervent, boiling over prayer by way of the Holy Spirit so that I can hear you a little louder, that I can hear you a little more clearly. He says, I have seen thy tears. Behold, oh, because I hear my servant. He says, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I'm going to give you a little bit more time because I like the way you pray to me. I like the way you serve me. I like the way you do those things. And why? When the righteous pray, it not only helps them, but it lets the sinner man see that there is a God. When the righteous pray, the nations can change. When the righteous pray, situations in counties and cities and governments can change. When the righteous pray. And he said, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. When the righteous pray, you see, all of that has turned around. Oh, when the righteous pray. I'm reminded over in Numbers chapter 11 verse 2. Moses had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they got over and they started murmuring and complaining. And murmuring and complaining and crying out. And God said, I'm sick of this. Verse 1 of Numbers 11 says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Sometimes we just got to stop complaining. You got to stop complaining. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Basically, God said, I'm sick and tired of y'all complaining. I've done all this, and you can't see this, but you won't pray. Sent down fire, just started burning them up. But oh, there was a righteous man by the name of Moses still around. And the people, you see, they didn't cry unto God. They cried unto Moses. Sometimes you are the only God that people will see. People in their sins may not be able to see God, but they can see the God in you and how you have reacted and acted and how God has changed your situation. The people cried unto Moses, and what did Moses do? And Moses prayed unto the Lord. That's verse 2. He prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. See, when the righteous pray, God will change not because of the sinner man, but because of the righteous man. This is what he asked for. I shall do it. And he will make his name known. I have to give you one more example. Because James referred to it. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by space of 3 years and 6 months. Oh, talking about the prophet Elijah. You see, in the Old Testament, 1 Kings over in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, he said unto the king, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah went and prayed to God and told him, and he went back to Ahab and said, it's not going to rain until I say so. Oh, how many of us as Christians can go back to the sinner man and say, it's not going to happen till I say so. You want to do certain things in this office. You want to do certain things the way you want, but it's not going to happen until I say so. See, how many of us live a life to when we ask God for something, he will honor our prayer. And so that was in verse 17. But what I like about Elijah and his ability to pray was when he went over and they had all the prophets of Baal. And they called on their God and their God, and their God didn't answer. But Elijah said, now I'm going to call on my God. See, they had built this altar with and put everything on it, and they was calling for fire out of heaven. But Elijah over in chapter 18, verse 37 said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. See, a lot of times God uses us in situations that when we pray, others can hear us praying, see us praying, and then see our God move on our behalf. When the righteous pray, things happen. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, this is what I like. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When the righteous pray, and God moves and the people see it, they cannot deny that it is God. So as I close today, I want us to understand, if we would go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. And we're talking about righteousness. See, we're looking at governments to solve our problems. We're looking at all kinds of movements and saying things like Black Lives Matter. They do matter. We're looking on the news and people getting shot. Some young lady had a concert, got shot right after her concert in Orlando, and the man killed himself. Then this morning I saw there were some other shots ringing out, I do believe, in Orlando. What's going on with this world? Well, we're turning away from God. We are turning our hearts, our minds away from God. I don't care how you want to slice it. We talk about homosexuality all the time, but there are a whole lot of other sins that are going on, but we want to focus on homosexuality. But this country has turned its heart, its mind, and its back against God. But when the righteous pray, if you want to see the situation change, if you want to see this country change, I remind you of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. It says, if my people, see, God is not talking about the sinner man. He's talking about those who know him as Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Because here Israel was going through some things, but God is saying to the Israelites, he said, if you would just hearken unto this scripture, oh, I can turn your land around. God is speaking to us today. He says, if my people
which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Oh, we too high and mighty right now. We have too much stuff to where we don't need God. The money is fine. The food is fine. The gasoline prices are low enough. I have a job. What do I need God for? But you better watch yourself, because the Lord God giveth and he will take it away. So you will understand that he is God. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. See, we got to get on our knees. We got to pray and we have to seek the face of God. We want to come in these days and just say, thank you, Jesus. Wave your hands and go on about your business. But he said, seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. And then when you do that, he says, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins and I will heal the land. When the righteous pray, God will heal the land. When the righteous pray, sinners will be saved. When the righteous pray, diseases will be healed. When the righteous pray, men will be turned to God. The message today was for me, because I've been asking God for things. Notice I said I've been asking God for things. But I've got to start praying to God for things. Praying earnestly. Praying fervently. Boiling over. Letting the Holy Spirit pray. The mind of God who knows God. Beginning to pray for those things that we know not what to pray for. When we allow the Holy Spirit of God to take control and speak to our situations, to speak to those things, things will happen. I'm just wanting you to know today that as a church, I'm asking that you make some time to pray. Set aside some time to pray earnestly. Pull away, get into your mountaintop. Pull away and just pray to God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Because when the righteous pray, God moves.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.